to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet. Shepherds fear, him law dog babe, the Son of Mary. He in such mean estate, where ox and ass are sleeting, here for sinners hear silent word is preaching. Pierce him through, be born for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come pheasant king, to own him.
The King of Kings salvation
brings, Son of Mary. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, children, today I've got a quiz for you. I know you're really good singers, so now I'm going to see if you're really, really smart, too. Think about the Christmas stories. We have one in Matthew, one in Luke. We have the Epiphany story, which is the coming of the wise men, which is celebrated tomorrow, the day of the Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas. But my question to you is, of all those stories, how does God speak to his people? What are the means by which God communicates his message to people? What's that? Say, Harry.
Love.
Okay, love, that's a really good answer. Always a good answer to answer with love when it comes to God. What other, what else? Angels, perfect, yeah. So, angels came to Joseph, came to Mary, and came to the shepherds. And those angels communicated God. In fact, the word angels literally means messenger. So, one of the ways that God spoke to his people, especially at Christmas, is angels. Anybody here ever had an angel experience? I have it myself, but maybe you have. What else, how, any other ways that by which God spoke to his people at Christmas? Three kings, good. And what were the three kings following?
A star,
right. Now what's really interesting about this is they weren't necessarily had a religion that was in keeping with Israel. They were strangers, they were aliens. And yet somehow they were able to look at the stars. They thought they were astrologers and were able to look at the stars and somehow realize that something great was happening. So God spoke even beyond the faith of the people that you might expect to know about God and was able to bring them into this picture and celebrate Jesus' birth. So, very good. One more really important way, and I talked about it last week more than anything, but is there another way you can think of how God communicated his message to people? You know, when the wise men went to Jerusalem, they asked King Herod where the king would be born. And Herod asked the chief priests and the scribes. And you know what they did? They went and found a prophet, or the writings of a prophet. And so that's another way God speaks to people, and that is through prophecy. And these prophets, sometimes their prophecy was like 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus. But still, they were able to know bits and pieces of the message. And so it's a pretty powerful way that God can speak through his prophets. And we believe that people are prophets now today. You might be a prophet, for example. That God uses you to speak his word to other people. And that's an important thing to remember, that God does speak through people called prophets. Okay, let's fold your hands and bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us and making your way known. Help us to be instruments of your voice to the world. Amen. Thank you, children. You get an A. Everyone gets an A for knowing about the ways that God speaks to us. Go ahead, you can go back to your seat or to Sunday school if that's where you're going.
The first reading is from the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd of a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 147 responsively. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
Who has strengthened the bars of your gates and has blessed your children within you.
God has established peace on your borders and satisfies you with the finest wheat.
God has sent out a man to the earth, a word that runs very swiftly.
God gives snow like wool, scattering frost like ashes.
God scatters hail.
The Lord sends forth the word and melts them. The wind blows and the waters flow.
God declares the word to Jacob, statutes and judgments to Israel.
The Lord has not done so to any other nation. They do not know God's judgments. Alleluia.
Glory to
the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Christ Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into him, being in him, has the life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and lived among us, and we gave his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. That's identifying the Word being Jesus. And it is the Christmas story according to John. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's all you're going to get of Christmas out of John. But then he begins, he has an understanding of Jesus that is much more far-reaching than a baby born in Bethlehem. He sees Jesus as someone who was there at the beginning of creation, which is a really amazing understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus is all about. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how John begins his gospel. And it seems almost like a contradiction. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So which one is it? With or was? And it's, the truth is, it's both. It's really the beginnings of the Trinitarian understanding. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three different persons, one God. Only here we have just introduction of two, Father and Son. The Word is Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Two, Father, Son, but both are God. And so we have this wonderful understanding that Jesus is this Word of God. In other words, He helps to communicate what God is all about. And it's really important to us. I have a confirmation question I ask all my... I have a final exam, and I tell my youth that are in confirmation, they have to get 100% or they can't pass. And so that means that when they don't get 100%, I give it back to them and give it back until they get 100%. But my one question that I always ask is, how did God create the world? And the answer is, He created it by speaking. And God said, let there be. And there was. Light, firmament, trees, animals, sun, the moon, the stars, all those things, all because God spoke. God said, let there be. And so with that understanding, then Jesus was at the beginning of creation, because Jesus is that Word of God. And it helps us understand who it is. So it's an important understanding that Jesus is God's Word, and words are really important to communicate the gospel. How can anybody believe without hearing? And how can anybody hear unless someone speaks? And so we are here to speak the Word of God. And when we speak God's Word, faith is what is provided, and it wells up within us. It's like the planting of seeds, these words. And they're tremendous in their impact, and it's like the whole world full of seeds when we share the Word of Jesus with the world. Then it goes on to say, He was in the world, and the world came together through Him, but the world did not know Him. So here's this contrast. Jesus was in the world. The world came into being through Jesus, but the world does not know Jesus because He's foreign to the world. So it was a fallen world. It's a world that needs a Savior. And I think that's the major message of the Christian faith. We have a Savior. We don't believe we can save ourselves. We truly believe we need someone to save us from who we are and what the world is all about. And left to our own designs, we won't make it. So we have a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus, and Jesus brings us God's Word. And it's very different from the world. The world is one thing. God's work is another. I told you about this before, and I want to reemphasize it because it's really important. I call it God's economy. The world's economy is... the more you give away, the less you have. And the less you give away, the more you keep for yourself. That's opposite of what God believes. God's economy is, the more you give away, the more you have. And the less you give away, the less you have. And it's primarily because God's definition of wealth is different than the world. The world's definition of wealth is money, power, and influence, and things, possessions. And the more of those things you give away, the less you have. But God's definition of wealth is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And the more love you give away, the more love you have. And the less love you give away, the less love you have. But today we're going to install our council, our church council here, our leaders. And there's a way of looking at leadership from a world's perspective, and there's a way of looking at leadership from God's perspective. The world's perspective is that leadership is power and authority. It's making demands. It's telling people what to do and when to do it. But that's not God's definition of leadership. Leadership, according to God, is service, caring for others, loving for them, becoming least so that they might become greater. And the great example of that is Jesus in John's gospel. When we had all the other gospels, we're talking about Jesus in the communion or the Last Supper. John started talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And as he washed the disciples' feet, Peter said, Jesus, don't wash my feet. I need to wash your feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And then Peter says, well, then not wash not just my feet, but my head and my hands and my whole body. And Jesus said, all you have to do is to have your feet washed. And then he talks about if you want to serve, who is greater, the one who sits at table or the one who serves? It's like an example that Jesus gives. And he says, well, it's obvious that the one who sits at table is greater than the one who serves. But he said, but it shall not be so among you. You shall be a servant, and I'm among you as one who serves. So that's the definition of leadership for Jesus. Totally opposite than the world. And yet, it's exactly the way what the world needs. Servant leaders. People who put themselves low so that others can be brought up high. It's a tremendous understanding of what leadership is. And certainly we want our church council to have that same kind of understanding. I think we can go on and on to point out these differences between the way of the world and the way of God. But we need to just remember that they're so contrary to each other. And that I'm sure you could come up for it a couple of understandings yourself. Darkness versus light. Being judgmental versus being forgiving. Being someone who is taking people and condemning them as opposed to building them up and making them separate again. Changing people from, instead of from the outside in, controlling behavior, changing from the inside out. Changing people's heart. Being born again. And then when you're born again, then you change behavior. But you can't change the heart by just controlling behavior. The way of the world versus the way of God. And then it all ends up with this beautiful statement. To all who have received him, who call out his name, he gives power to become children of God. It's a beautiful statement of what it means to be a Christian. To all who have received him, who call upon his name, he gives you power to become children of God. I was reading the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Now, you were asking, why in the world is my pastor reading the St. Paul Pioneer Press? It's the newspaper from St. Paul. It's because I'm a Minnesota Viking fan, right? And, of course, they're playing today, and, in fact, probably as we speak. I always think God has a sense of humor because they could have played in four different time spots. And the one he's playing at now is my time slot, so I have to choose. Well, I'm not staying for the fellowship hour, so let's put it that way. So anyway, I became a subscriber to the St. Paul Pioneer Press, where there was a story in there about this little 5-year-old boy and this crazed killer, someone who is 19 years old, who is just looking through the Mall of America. Anybody here been to the Mall of America? Okay, good. A lot of you have. But was in the Mall of America looking for someone to kill. And so he takes a 5-year-old boy and throws him off the 3rd-floor balcony of the Mall of America to the atrium below. That's where Legoland is. The little boy survived. Many broken bones, had a hole in his stomach, but he survived. The man who was his killer was convicted of attempted murder, and he's serving a 15-year prison sentence. But the little boy, the article is about this wonderful little boy who now if someone he interacts with is having a hard day, he says, well, you know, I was thrown off a cliff, but angels came and lifted me up because Jesus loves me. And I know that Jesus is going to help you too in your whatever's going through in your life right now because he loves you too. A child of God. Someone who is able to take the circumstances that our life has given them and realize that God has a plan and a purpose that can turn everything around and even make the actions of a crazed killer become a means by which the grace of God is communicated to the world. Only God can do that. And the children of God are a witness to that. Amen. And as I call your name, the newly elected Congregational Council of St. Peter's by the Sea will come forward and stand behind the railings here. Lyle Bolter, Brenda Johnson, John O'Brien, Helen Schmieding, Jim Gertkowski, Jane Christensen, Christina Fadden and Ben Fadden, Max Phelps, cheering section, Deirdre Slaughter, welcome everybody. I'm going to ask you to make a threefold commitment of your lives. I ask you now to make that threefold commitment. Do you commit yourself to the grace of God through Jesus Christ to be a witness in the world of justice and peace and an ambassador of God's unconditional love? If so, please respond, I commit myself to God's grace through Jesus Christ.
I commit myself to
Do you commit yourself to serve St. Peter's by the Sea through your investment of time, energy, and resources? To do all that you can to be a part of the St. Peter's ministry to its members, its community, and to the world? If so, please respond, I commit myself to serve St. Peter's by the Sea.
I commit myself to serve St. Peter's by the Sea.
Do you commit yourself to personal devotion and prayer through regular worship, the tithing of your income, the expression of God's Holy Spirit given to you, and regular prayer? If so, please respond, I commit myself to regular spiritual devotion.
I commit myself to regular spiritual
devotion. In Congregation of St. Peter's by the Sea, do you commit yourself to support through prayer and affirmation the work of this Congregational Council for 2020? If so, please respond, we commit ourselves to their support through prayer and affirmation. We commit ourselves to their support through prayer and affirmation. I ask you now to please just bow your heads, and everyone out here, we're going to bless them. So hold out your hand and bless with these words. Lord Jesus,
bless
this congregational council.
Bless this congregational council.
Give them love and commitment.
Give them love and commitment.
Give them energy and wisdom.
Bless us through them
with wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Wisdom
and the power
of the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Congratulations. Let's welcome our new congregational council.